Hello and welcome to the Rant and Rave podcast. I'm Dave.
Frank, Dave, good evening to you.
Yes, we're good evening is the correct way to put it because we're doing a special midweek podcast because of the terrible tragedy, of course, that happened in Afghanistan today, which is August 26th. So as we have all heard, the toughest day on the for the U.S. military in quite a long time. 100 people were killed, including at least 13 U.S. service members and 90 Afghanis at the Kabul airport on Thursday. Two huge bomb blasts went right through the crowd at the where the Americans had the facility. So tragic news, Frank. Give us some details. What have you been finding out about this?
Yeah, hey, Dave. You know, we hate coming to our listeners, you know, with, you know, breaking podcasts like this, but we thought it was important to get ourselves out on the air tonight and put a show out on this and really just, I think, echo what a lot of our listeners are feeling tonight. And that's frankly anger, just extreme anger and extreme disappointment. You know, look, we can have, you know, different political views back and forth between various sides. At the end of the day, this was a completely, sadly, completely avoidable set of circumstances. It was entirely predictable. As you said, Dave, you know, 13 U.S. troops killed in two checkpoint, suicide vest bombings by ISIS. Look, if this was not predictable, I don't know what is. This was so predictable. Going back multiple months when we've done shows on this, leaving behind $1 billion in arms, leaving our civilian and military forces out to dry, basically, and then trying some sort of, you know, cockamamie, half-ass, get out of Dodge escape plan with, you know, C-130s from Qatar coming in to take people out, including 100 Afghanis, many of whom hit the terror watch list when they landed overseas. It's just, Dave, it's just disgusting. It's terrible. It's embarrassing. It makes Saigon look like a win. It's awful. It's just awful all the way around. And I feel so today, I have to say, one of the first days in years, I had this gut, terrible feeling in my gut. And look, these people, these soldiers who died, their dads, their brothers, their fathers, their, you know, husbands, it's incredibly tragic and sickening and was totally avoidable.
I would say on a scale of 1 to 10 on the surprise scale, this gets a zero.
Yeah.
Zero surprise.
Yeah.
About this. This was not a, if it was when this was going to happen.
Yeah.
My Lord, have we not learned anything in the last 20 years?
Yeah.
Well, we have one thing we've learned over and over as the feckless leftists, the global Democrat DNC,
yes,
the Biden, the Pelosi's, their number one goal is to weaken our country. And
yeah,
this is the result. Appeasement, weakness. And somebody, the number one word I heard over and over is vacuum. So
yeah,
when you show this kind of weakness, it creates a vacuum. And who's
yeah
going to fill it? Those nasty Taliban, ISIS
yeah
members, they were licking their from as soon as Biden took over in January.
Yeah,
they were having a party.
And watch for China to make some moves in Taiwan in the next few weeks as well.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, obviously,
it's a domino effect.
It's a total domino effect. We're 2 weeks away from the 20th anniversary of 9/11. ISIS can, at this point, you know, they've got us by the tail over there. This has just been strategically and tactically a complete fuck up. And they have us by the tail and they have us on the run and they're basically counting down and they're in the driver's seat. They're saying, look, you guys have X number of days left. There will be no extensions. They're telling us what to do.
They're telling
fuck
us.
That.
I'm right.
Who the hell are they? Let's bomb the fuck out of them until they get the picture. And I tell you what, if this feckless moron Biden wasn't in office, that would be happening. That would absolutely be happening. He doesn't even know what day of the week it is. But as we know, he's having strings pulled by others. So
yeah, I got to tell you, I think if Obama was in there, I think even Obama would have been tougher. at this
point. I think that's right, actually. Yeah, I think so. You know? Yeah, crazily enough, I'm not saying
a lot there, but I absolutely think, and it just shows you just how much things have shifted just in 10 years.
Yeah. If you're one of these, you know, Mark Milley's or these, you know, the defense guy or the NSA guy or these weak-kneed woke morons who are more interested in making tranny recruitment and training films for the Department of Defense and the CIA, meanwhile, we're getting our asses handed to us in a sling overseas. I've talked to a very good friend of mine who's in special forces. He's on a mission overseas right now. Can't disclose where. It's not in the Middle East, but obviously he's in close communication with all the folks there in Afghanistan. And he said, people, the military, they don't even know what to do. Meaning their heads, they'll fight, but the policy leaders are off the charts wrong on this one.
It's like a boat with no rudder. So there's no direction, there's no compass. And it's so funny, you know, after we dumped on Milley quite a bit the last couple of podcasts, and it's just so funny how this falls right into line with that. So just as he gets on his little high horse about his woke nonsense and his white guilt, this just dump a big pile of poo on his head. And the other thing I've been hearing over and over is resign. You people have to resign.
Right.
Clean house.
Right.
This is a dead fish, and you got to chop off this head.
Yeah.
And rebuild this fish.
Yeah, totally. Honestly, Dave, the whole bunch. To be honest with you, I get really upset, and I think our viewers and listeners do too. I get really upset when I hear this stuff about resignation. I mean, have we got to the point where it's okay to get 13 U.S. soldiers killed? And then a resignation is satisfactory? That's ridiculous. We shouldn't even be at the point where resignations are acceptable. We're so far beyond the need for resignations. I mean, listen to Steve Bannon today. He was fantastic. Not sure if you heard him earlier in the day, but heads have to roll. And I don't just mean resignations. I mean, we need a clean sweep. One of these feckless heads leaving is not going to solve the problem.
Enough? No, it's not just Milley. It's the whole structure. But even, you know, we can go on about how much things need to be changed, but just getting to what happened here.
Right.
And how, you know, just saying at the beginning, this was not a surprise. And I really I tell you, Frank, I fear for the next few days ahead.
Yeah.
They're supposedly giving to the 31st. Oh yes, Mr. Taliban, whatever you say, we'll get down on our knees and be submissive to your, seventh century, way of thinking of the world. Yeah, I don't think so, but unfortunately, I think we're going to see a lot more mayhem in the next 5 or 6
days. I'm going to tell you, I think that's a great point, by the way. And I'm going to tell you, if they told Biden to take a knee, he would.
Oh yeah.
He absolutely would. And that's the difference. That's the difference between what we stand for and what they stand for. Very simple.
Yeah, so he trotted a Hiding Biden, Lion Biden, whatever you want to call him, potato head, went up there and did a 5:30, like very late, press conference. Ducey from Fox News, Steve Ducey's kid, he's stepping up. You know, that guy's a superstar in the, you know, he's very youngish still, but he laid into him, and Biden actually called on him, and Biden went into this weird crouching, hugging his briefcase thing on the stage there. How embarrassing.
Yeah,
trying to mumble and fumble his way through it, left everyone with absolutely zero confidence about what's upcoming, and it's just tried to say all the right words. Oh, we're very sorry, blah 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 blah. That's not enough.
I mean, look, if Obama didn't even have confidence in Biden, why should we?
Right, he didn't did it. Right,
he didn't even want the guy. He was just there as a puppet figurehead, you know. Here's an old white guy, you know, blue collar Joe. Yeah. That'll get me a few votes. So let's just keep him on board.
It's weird. We can go back to the election, but it's unbelievable that this man was the best the DNC had and that the fix was in. I mean, anybody, I don't know. It's just that the whole thing's just a crock at this
point. He obviously wasn't the best. He was the most controllable and the most electable. I mean, not a single one of the other candidates polled more than 2%. And that includes Camel Toes.
Who I think will, I'm going to say it right now. She will be a president before Biden's 4 years is up. I think
I agree with that.
At some point, she's going to be our president, which is about as, pass me a shot.
Do you know that means that Nancy Pelosi will become vice president?
She might. I think they still
have two, and you'll have those two women in charge.
Yeah.
Not, wow. And the happy thing is that's not the issue, whether they're women or not. But they're just horrendous humans.
Happy days. So it's a obviously very disappointing day. We're going to have to pick up the pieces literally, which is a horrible way to put it.
Yeah.
And obviously do a whole rethink. And I don't know if they're going to continue to bring in, you know, they're bringing now in more reinforcements. You know, they evacuated. Yeah. Now they're we better get back there.
Right.
And who's going to be left behind at the end of the day on the 31st? Oh my God. You can imagine the horror tales that are going to be told.
Yeah.
When that final plane takes off.
Oh, yeah. I am very worried, Dave, as I echo your sentiments between now and 9/11, September 11th, I'm very concerned, and I would just encourage our listeners to be very alert and very aware of their surroundings and what they're doing and where they're going. And if you're traveling on a plane or a subway or whatever, just be very mindful of your surroundings.
Well, speaking of traveling, so this is in the midst of us. Oh, here's a good idea. In the midst of all this nonsense, we are now we're not even just letting them. We are flying in tens of thousands of Afghanis.
I know.
Who have not been vetted.
Processed. No visas, no paperwork, nothing.
And they, you know, somebody made a good point. Hey, if you think they should be getting out of that hellhole, okay, put them on in some kind of a base in the Middle East.
Right.
Let them find their way in the world in another like-minded Muslim nation, not in America.
Right. Lord. And we talked about this last podcast. I mean, of course, they're being flown into places like Topeka, Kansas, Missouri, Alabama, Texas, all red states. It's part of their strategy, right? It's just like, it's like stacking the deck with Soros's and, you know, with DAs like Gascon funded by Soros. It's the same sort of strategy. It's just the same thing with the open door policy on the southern border. Same strategy. I think people are finally getting it.
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, just, it's amazing. Just, I think the little protective glow that Biden still kind of had around him.
Yeah.
Has completely evaporated in the last few days. And I guess there were a lot of like, you know, wishful thinking Dems like, oh, he'll keep it together. He'll be fine. We'll get through all this. No, I think that that little glow is bye-bye. This whole, and the whole thing about the buck stops with me, but it's actually Trump's fault. he said that a few times.
It's obviously not surprising, right? So
not surprised. So let's, we'll just keep track of all this, but we wanted to get this out there. So just a couple of things that happened. It's like rapid fire. What's going on these days. It's hard to keep your head straight, but
it is.
The scumbag, I'm going to call him a scumbag. This low-life police officer finally popped up his head after he was basically cleared of any wrongdoing. The police officer who shot Ashley Babbitt on January 6th, and what does he do? The coward that he is, he shows up on NBC under the protective interview of a friendly reporter there.
Okay.
So I'm going to say his name. His name is...
Let's do it.
There we go. Lieutenant Michael Byrd.
Yeah.
He is a U.S. Capitol police officer. And he thought, well, now that I've been cleared of all wrongdoing, I'm going to go to Lester Holt on NBC, a lefty
one reporter. Black man to another. Yeah.
Yep. Now, and initially you get to think, okay, I'm going to give him a 1% saying, okay, you have people coming into the Capitol. You panicked and shot. I'm going to put that aside. What I'm not going to put aside is the hypocrisy.
Right.
Can you imagine? This is so, you know, we've all thought about this a million times. A white male police officer shooting a black female anywhere at any time, even if she's got a machine gun.
Right.
That white cop is going to be vilified for the very first second.
Yep.
And he's going to be tried and executed, no doubt. But if you do the reverse, this, and he's a scumbag. I'm sorry. I'm going to say it. I hope only bad things happen to him.
Yeah.
Sorry, God. But yep. I think he's a loser. He took a
life, and there was no justification for it. I mean, I've been through a lot of use of force training myself, Dave, as you know, and the simple fact of the matter was, there was no clear and present danger. She was unarmed. There was not an imminent, bodily threat, or grievous threat, to life and limb. So there's absolutely no justification for that kind of use of force. So what do? They do a quick and dirty internal investigation. They clear the guy. They wait 6 months, hide his name. Everybody in the media knew it. We obviously knew it. We're bringing it out tonight. We've known it for months. And he's basically officially cleared. Yeah. It's in the same category as the top of the show, Dave. It's absolutely disgusting. The hypocrisy stinks. And you know, this is the way of the Jim Crow Democrats. This is just the way they operate, and they don't think anything's wrong. They don't think twice about it.
And this hit the line about how I saved countless lives. Oh, please, you know, it's obviously he's not a man who's humble or learned from this terrible mistake. He's out there, you know, with a proud chest saying, "I did the right thing." You know,
and
that's what gets me. That's what gets me. You know, it's one
thing. He's going to go, Dave, like you said, he's going to go down as an apostrophe in history. He's a nothing. He's a nothing burger. And he might be in the news.
I still pray that one day, and it probably won't happen until 2022 or even 24, that we get to the real investigation of that day. And we do release the 10,000 hours of video footage that they refused to release. So one day that may happen.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen until Pelosi's out, though.
Yeah, I was talking with some friends about it today, this afternoon, and I'm done apologizing for January the 6th.
Oh.
You had a million patriots there who were upset about a stolen election. It was fraudulently stolen. It was taken. Sure. It was taken by fraud. And you had a few people who were let in by Nancy Pelosi's Capitol Police. And then you had an unarmed person on our side shot dead. Personally, I don't see the problem. You know, were there some people guilty of trespassing and breaking some windows and whatever? Sure. Computer theft. Okay, sure. Whatever. But, you know, rounding, obviously, you know, he's completely weaponized the FBI, rounding up hundreds of people. We're now at the stage where you get 8 months in prison for standing on the steps of the Congress, which is what just happened to an individual who was you probably saw that in the news yesterday, a young man, 30 years old. 8 months in federal prison for standing on the steps of the Congress on that day. That's where we're at, Dave.
It's so sad. It's laughable, or if it's so laughable, it's sad. I don't know which way to put it. You know, the other odd thing, we mention this, Frank, that now they've said four of the Capitol Police officers there that day have committed suicide.
Yeah, it seems a little odd, doesn't it?
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. We touched on that a couple of shows ago, but it seems, it sounds almost like a Seth Rich issue.
Wow.
You know, for those who remember the Clinton era and, you know, when Dems like to just get the fishing poles out and
like one would be bad enough, but four?
Yeah, four suicides within the span of a couple of months, and all four happen to be material witnesses to what happened on January the 6th.
Oh.
I don't know, Dave. Seems a little odd to me. Doesn't seem odd to you?
It's more that fish head that needs to be chopped off. It's because it's getting awfully smelly, man.
Mm-hmm.
That is a smelly fish head.
Speaking of smelly
fish heads, I love how just rapid fire my gal MTG down there in Georgia reels off the impeachment papers.
Marjorie Taylor Greene, gotta love her.
Yeah, so she's got those ready to go. And even Tony Gonzalez, who's another I think representative, called for the Biden administration to immediately resign. So at least there's a lot of members of the GOP who are showing a little bit of backbone that are stepping up and calling these, you know, Biden has blood on his hands. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Please. I'm so happy to see these very strong,
very
affirmative statements about what's going on here.
And totally. And beyond the blood on the hands, which is disgusting and bad enough, Dave, as it is, you know, can you believe that nincompoop at the State Department came out today and said, you know, to the Americans who were there, it's your fault. It's your own fault that you're there. You're trapped. Yeah. You're stuck. It's not our problem.
Yeah, we've been telling you for weeks to leave.
Yeah, it's your problem.
Yeah,
figure something out.
So here, 2 months ago, Biden gets up there and says, "Oh, everything's fine, everything's safe, we got people there, everything's good." And then at the same time, they were saying, "Oh, you guys should all leave because this could fall apart." Yeah, well, it's one or the other.
Yeah. They seem very good at evacuating Afghanis a lot more effectively than evacuating American citizens, and that makes me want to puke.
Frank, I wonder how that happens.
Well, exactly. We all know why.
Oh,
exactly.
Oh, dude. Well,
yeah, I don't know where we're going to go with this, Dave. But I tell you, the next couple of weeks, keep dialed in, folks. Stay tuned. Stay alert. Stay awake. Stay safe. I think there's a lot more that's going to happen, Dave. I was at a sermon the other day in church last Sunday, and the pastor got into Revelation 13. It's a scary chapter, I think, as a lot of our, you know, listeners know, but specifically sort of verse 13 and the whole tribulation thing. And, you know, not to go off on a huge tangent here, but, you know, arming tens of thousands of ISIS and Taliban terrorists with $1 billion worth of our hardware in a firestorm spot in the Middle East, only a few hundred miles from Israel, I think you're looking for trouble. I think there's going to be some serious trouble in the next few months.
I will not disagree with that, Frank. Good to see you, buddy.
Good to see
God
you,
bless
dude.
America. And we'll talk again in a few days then.
God bless you, dude. And God bless our country and our soldiers. Take care, buddy.